we know that the local church is a community. It's a family. It's a family of faith. It's a community. And we discovered together that the local church is a community of testimony bearers. We bear a testimony to the world. We also are a community of leaders, all of us. Imagine that. Praise God for this. And now we will open a new chapter on trying to understand the community of the church. And this is the community of disciple makers. By the way, we are not only a community of disciples, but a community of disciple makers, okay? Well, there is a difference. I don't know if you know the difference, but there is a difference between Christians and disciples. Well, it breaks my heart, but not all of the Christians are followers of Christ. Some of them are just nominal Christians. They pretend to be, and they say, I am a Christian, but they are not. Their lives tells you that they are not Christians. And like you go to a tree and you expect pears, and actually it's mango. Like, what in the world is this? Or no fruits at all. So it's the same. But also there is a difference between, and this is, I think, here it's a difference in commitment. The disciples are Christians who are really committed to Jesus Christ, and they want to live his life. The same difference is between disciples and disciple makers. There is a difference in commitment. Jesus, in front of over like 500 disciples, before he went back in heaven, he said this to them. Go therefore, and this is Matthew 28, if you want to look into this. I'm not reading the whole passage, but he said this. Go and therefore, Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is beautiful. This is what Jesus led. This is like his testament, his will, his last will. I want you to go and make disciples. How you do this? By going, by baptizing, and by teaching them everything that I commanded you. So let's define the terms. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus Christ, and he wants to be more like him. When I say follow, it's like I always imagine this. If somebody follows me and I go in this direction and then I change direction, that person follows me, right? It's not like going in another direction. That person that is not following me at all. So if I start running, that person starts running too. So you see, when you see Jesus running, you run. When you see Jesus stop, you stop. He takes left, you take left. You understand that? It's easy. That's following. A lot of Christians are everywhere but not following Jesus. You understand? They are trying, but not enough because Jesus is far away. So therefore, in Hebrews, we have a verse saying, come closer. Now, knowing all of these that you are saved, come closer to Jesus. Try to be like him. A disciple is the one who follows Jesus, and discipleship is actually the spiritual journey that a follower takes together with the local church. You understand? Discipleship is not you and yourself. Discipleship is the journey that you take with others. And Jesus invented the church. He died for the church to be with the church and to grow with them. And this is what we do here at Crossroads. We love to grow together. By the way, I love to grow with you. It's a chance. It's a privilege that I have. But a disciple maker, it's a follower of Christ who multiplies disciples through personal example. Look at me, do what I do. How do we know? Well, Jesus did that. He said, look at me and do what I do. I will make you fishers of men. Why? Jesus was a fisher of men. Look at me, do what I do. And you're a good student. Christians are students of Christ. As I said, some of them are like, not very good students. But think about this. Jesus' plan was very simple. By going, by teaching, by baptizing, you make disciples. We are not disciples, we are disciple makers. You understand? We cannot stop there. I'm a disciple of Christ. No, I'm a disciple maker. And later on, I think, if you remember this, Paul's strategy was to go and to plant churches in the big cities, and then no-name Christians would go here and there in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. He was spreading that good news, like that seed of the good news in the big city, and then all the other. So Paul was in this situation writing to some churches he never visited. Why? Because there were others planting or starting that church, not himself. Those were his disciples. And they were making other disciples. So you see it in Jesus' life, you see it in Jesus' words, you see it in the early church, everywhere. Every time a church makes new disciples of Christ, it's following not only the great commission of Jesus Christ, but also practice what the early church practiced. Without this, we would not be here. You understand that? It's, Jesus gave this command to over 500 people, and they took it, and also the apostles, and they multiply it. The witness about the impact of Jesus in their life was in Judea, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Jesus told them this, they did it. By living and giving an account of the gospel, the local church, and hear me well, by hearing and by giving the gospel, by living it today, the local church is precipitating the rapture and the end times, the end of the world. We are actors in this. We are not spectators in this. We are actors. We are agents of transformation. What is a disciple maker again? Well, a person, a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ who intentionally extends a network of people and to assist people, to help people to understand the gospel, to dedicate their life to Jesus and to follow him. It's as simple as it is. Jesus made disciples who, in their term, they made other disciples. And he said, "I follow me, do what I did, and you will be a fisher." Amen. And I love this because the call to full-time discipleship, to be a copy of Jesus in your life, is for everybody, for all of us. But he was making disciples. He was the first disciple maker. And then the apostles and the 500 and all the early church, everyone was involved in this. Interesting, when Jesus told that to the apostles, when you read the book of the book of Acts, actually you see that Jesus succeeded. They did it. It's Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It's a very interesting verse. Now when they, when I say they were the rulers, the elders of Israel, the priests of Israel, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Successful. Jesus succeeded to do this. They copied Jesus, and when they saw the boldness, they're like, whoa, whoa, they look like Jesus. We tried to kill one Jesus, now we have so many. It's so crazy. They were like, okay, it's useless. It's useless. By the way, the word for common, I said uneducated and common people. The word for common or uneducated or untrained is in Greek. I will give you the Greek word. It's a big word. Idiotai. You understand Greek? You see, we are so educated. Idiots. This, well, today when we say idiot, we think of, you know, a person that is, you know, stupid, right? But in the beginning, the word idiotai actually meant untrained. Untrained, uneducated. And when they look at them, they look like a bunch of Galileans. By the way, the only one who was not a Galilean was Judas Iscariot. And he killed himself. So all of them, they were Galileans. All of them, they were uneducated. All of them, they were idiots in their eyes. But their boldness was like their master, Jesus Christ. Paul also uses the same method when he commanded Timothy to be a copy of Jesus, who makes copies of Jesus, who on their turn, they make other copies of Jesus. I will give you the verses, 2 Timothy 2:2. It's very easy to remember. 2:2:2. And then when you add Timothy, that's it. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many of witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others to do the same thing. Like Paul, Timothy, faithful people, others. Four generations of disciple makers. Jesus was successful in making disciples. The early church was successful to make disciple makers. Now is your turn and mine. The ball is in our field, okay? Will we make disciple makers? Well, in order to make one, you have to be one, right? So if you make disciples and you will instill this DNA in them, they will do it too. If not, Christianity will die with you. Do you want that? Well, that's a bit too dramatic. Hopefully there will be other disciple makers, but at least on your side, no other spiritual children. No one wants that. Are you a disciple maker? And if you want to understand how is that possible, I will give you three main ideas what Jesus did and actually he commanded others to do. How Jesus made disciple makers. And the first one is he built relations with people around. Jesus took 12 ordinary people to train them for a year and a half to become disciple makers. And as we read, he was successful. Jesus spent time with his disciples. Discipleship actually takes time. How much time they spent together? Every day. What we do, we go to job every day. We are part of our family every day. But we are not doing this every day. Jesus actually did that. They follow him. Wherever he went, he was invited to a wedding. The disciples, they were with him. No wonder after a while, they were out of wine. Because he came with his disciples. You see, he spent time with 70 and maybe more. But then he spent time with 12. And then he spent time with the three. Not so much he spent time one-on-one. But his mindset was a fisherman mindset, right? That's why when he called Peter, he said, I will make you a fisherman of men. Why? Because fishermen, they have the same mindset as Jesus. It takes a community to catch many fish. Not like one. And then, oh no. And put another bait. Oh no. And what are you doing? That's not Jesus, right? Jesus said, bring on the net. And they understood this mindset. From my observation, Jesus took some steps to develop disciples makers. The first step was this. Andrew and John started to follow Jesus when they left John the Baptist. They were already a disciple of somebody else. But when he said, he is the Lamb of God, they said, okay, thank you, sir. We are following him. So these two, John and Andrew, they follow him. They brought their brothers, Peter and James. Next day, Jesus called Philip, and Philip brought Nathanael, his friend. You see? Each one of them, they brought the other one. And step two, Jesus started to, he moved in Capernaum, actually, and he intensified the discipleship process, calling them to do what he was doing. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, Jesus challenged people to become like him. He was doing this. You understand? By the way, you know why the army loved Alexander the Great? You know why? He was really crazy. He was that type of general who was in the front line. He was not a general that he's back there on the hill and like, yeah, you go there and you go there and he's safe. He was never safe. And his army loved him. Why? He was there with them. By the way, he knew God told him, our God told him that he will conquer the world. And he was said, oh, that's it, man. I can do this. I don't care. I will not die. And he did it. Now, Jesus did the same thing. Look at me. I'm doing this. Disciples learn from the teacher and they copy not only the knowledge, but also the life of the teacher. If you are doing this, I will do it. So this is step number two. Step number three. Let's back up a little bit. Step number two, he spent a year and a half. You know, his earthly ministry was 3 years, right? Ish. Half of this time, he was walking with his disciples, a year and a half, training them, building relationship with them, until he called them to be his apostles. You understand that? Until the commitment, he spent a lot of time with them. They saw him, how he was doing all these miracles, heard all the messages. Now they were prepared. But during this time, they were going back home, coming back, walking to Jesus, going back home, coming back to Jesus. So it was not full time. It was part time. And Jesus was okay with that. Why? Number one, Jesus built relationship with them. And in order to build relationship, you need time. And this man knew Jesus at this level of relationship, work, travel, cracking jokes, things like that. Oh, by the way, Jesus, if you read John, the Gospel of John, I always, when I read John, I laugh. It's like, Jesus is so, his humor is so fine and sometimes even his sarcasm. And they don't get it. Jesus is awesome. Okay, so step number three, at one point, Jesus called the disciples he knew already from, you know, past experience to be full-time disciples. And in Luke 5, when you read Luke 5, after a miracle that probably it was a comfort for the fishermen and for their family, they caught a lot of fish. Jesus said this, and Jesus, this is Luke chapter 5, verse 10. From now on, listen, that's interesting. From now on, you will be catching men. And the answer was at the level of the call. Luke 5:11 says this, and when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They were prepared now. You see, for a year and a half, they were walking. They were building relationship. Now Jesus said, now is the time. Yes, let's do this. Until they took the decision to leave everything behind to follow Jesus, it took a while. a year and a half. Jesus didn't rush the process. Well, he could, but he didn't. He didn't want that. With patience, he poured his life in them, and he spent life with them. They grew together, actually. The time that they were willing to give, and at this time, Peter actually says this. This is Luke 5:8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What a statement. Until they have seen their sinfulness, Jesus was not ready to move on for the next step. I'm your friend. I want the best. And they realized, and Peter realized that, yeah, I know. You're holy. I'm not. You are different. I'm not. I'm so common. I'm so sinful. Making disciples requires you to go, you and I, both of us, all of us, to go. This is the go of the command. Jesus never said, go and make disciples, unless he was doing it. And he went, I mean, really went all over the place with them and for them. Get out of your comfort zone. Meet where they are. Well, meet that Matthew at his tax collecting booth, right? Meet that Peter in his boat during the work. Meet Nathaniel in the middle of his doubt and pride. Meet Simon the Zealot in his patriotism. He took bad decisions in his life, but Jesus said, no problem. Come and follow me. Meet them where they are. Go there and be a good friend. Use the God talk. If you don't know what is a God talk, come afterwards and I will explain. Don't be afraid to show you your trust in God. Pray when you eat. Please don't curse or do things like that. It's bad business, okay? You understand? Be like Jesus. And at one point, the people around you, your friends, they will ask you, what is wrong with you? What's going on with you? That's your moment, you know? Like in volley, and you are ready to spike. Like, well, Jesus taught me this, you know? Would you like to know more about Jesus? It's so natural. It's so natural. Okay. And then number two, Jesus, he was not only a good friend, but at one point he said, okay, now it's time. Let's move on. Okay, step number four. After this, Jesus called 12 of them by name, right? From among all of the disciples. There were not only 12. From all of them, he said, you, come and follow me 100%. Not part-time, full-time. Come and follow me. And he called them his apostles. What is an apostle? An apostle is a special envoy and like an ambassador, right? Jesus sent them in villages, like two by two, and prepared the village. Go and prepare the village for me. But they were talking like Jesus, living like Jesus, and they were just copies. And when the original came, the city, the village, was ready. By the way, probably you remember this, when John and James, they came back from a village, from Samaria. This village said, no, you are not welcome here. They went to Jesus, and they made a very interesting plea. Lord, please, burn them all. Incinerate them. And Jesus said, nope, I'm not doing it. Praise God. You know why? Read the book of Acts. Philip, the evangelist, goes there. He starts to preach the gospel. A lot of people started to become Christians. And he was not able to deal with all of this. And he called Peter. Peter, come here and help me. That was a huge harvest. Why? Well, Jesus didn't burn them all. Praise God. That's not a good discipleship. Burn them all because they don't want to receive us. No, that's really bad. Jesus didn't baptize his disciples, so far as I know, but he talked about baptism. This is the first act of commitment, to be baptized. To be a disciple is all about commitment, but this is the beginning. It's when you show and tell everybody, hey, guys, from now on, I am a Christian. And I want to be responsible for this. If you see me doing things that Christians should not, like Jesus Christ is not doing it, please tell me, because I don't want to. Please help me to be a better Christian. Please help me to be a better follower of Christ. Then to follow the way of Jesus means to choose to live the life in the manner he wants, not what you want. From now on, this person who is baptized and he's committed, he understands, or she, they understand that they are disciples. They walk in obedience. And the first step of obedience is baptism. I will tell you more about this next Sunday. But it's a disciple is not with the master teacher to copy his ideology, but to copy also his life. And Jesus actually put it so well in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Awesome. Being committed to Jesus Christ shows that you have been transformed by the word of God. It's impossible to make other disciples unless you are one of them. So you see, Jesus did it, and this is like a challenge to me and you. If Jesus did it, I have to do it. No-brainer. For those, and interesting, it's in Romans, Paul said this. This is our aim, to be more mature, to look like Jesus Christ. Listen what he says, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. This is what the Father does, to conform us to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And all the brothers look like the firstborn. You understand? An entire family looking like the firstborn, who is Jesus. And Jesus and other Jesus. That's an interesting picture. When we are committed, we become more like Jesus Christ, and we are ready to change our priorities. Not my priority, but Jesus' priority. And when you are a disciple and disciple man, you think, what is Jesus' priority in this? What would Jesus do, right? What would Jesus say? All of these is, by the way, this will never end. This process will never end. In Philippians 3:12-14, Paul said this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, praise God, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do. Paul was a man of one thing. I think it's good to have that, you know, this picture. One thing person. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And the author of Hebrew, I quoted this verse, is Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Yes, you understand? It's so clear. It's clear conscience, and then you have also the baptism. And now you are ready. Okay, Lord, what should I do? Tell me. I need some guidance here. And you do it. How can we become more like Jesus? How can we mature in godliness? Well, here are some good ideas. Spend time and meditate on God's word. pray and talk God to God and thank to him, fellowship with other believers, worship God and praise him, put aside sin, do deeds that are keeping up with your repentance, show signs of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's so clear. The New Testament is so clear. By the way, Jesus never called us to be Jesus fans. Jesus said, I want to be my disciples. Do you understand the difference between a fan and a disciple? Right? Fans go there, you know, like, woo, they applaud or they boo. But they never play. Never. They're just only fans. You know, I'm just a fan of Jesus Christ. I'm not doing it. There are some others that they, you know, the pastors. They should do it. Not me. Actually, I met this type of Christian. I was like, what are you talking about? But this is so hilarious. Fans will never want to do the work. They are there to encourage or to boo when it's convenient, but not to play. They are there to wear the colors of the team. You know, go team. Go team Jesus. But they are not never part of the team. They comment on the play. Like, I mean, they are experts, right? A fan is an expert. Hey, they should do this and that. And good advices, but they do not participate in the training. The training is really hard. They do not participate in the training or do the sacrifices that are required by the training. It's so easy to stay there and, you know, make the belly, you know, and then you. But they are an expert. And we are not. By the way, I don't know if this is right to say, but Crossroads is not that church of spectators. We are not fans of Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. Crossroads is a church, planting church, with disciple-making disciple-makers. That's the Jesus way. Now, the third one, I made it to the third one. Wow. Jesus expected multiplication. So he started by having good relationship and investing himself in them. And then he called them by name and said, hey, you need to do this. And that's commitment. And that's going. And then Jesus expected multiplication. Teach them to obey. Teach them to keep. Teach them. But the verb there is present. It's like continuous. Keep. It's an entire process. Teaching them to observe all of these, to guard, to pay close attention, what I taught you. What Jesus taught them again? I am a disciple maker, you are a disciple maker, and you teach them to be what? Exactly, disciple makers. It's Jesus is so, you see, he never said us to do something that he didn't do. He was the first one. Therefore, he is our teacher. He tells us what and how to do it. How you do this? How you multiply yourself? Well, by being involved in the multiplication of the small groups, or like discipleship groups, in the multiplication of the church, in the multiplication of other disciples. They will look like you because you look like Jesus, and they will look like Jesus. With a little bit of touch of you. We always have that. Paul always worked with others. By the way, Paul loved to work with others. When he was alone, he was in Athens. He was in Athens and he was alone. And he was waiting for Timothy and Silas to come. And he was bored. He went in the agora, in the market, and his soul was like, they are so idolatrous. But he never loved to be alone or work alone, never. I'll give you an example. He worked with and he made disciples. I'll give you some names. Timothy, He went in the church of Ephesus and he made disciples there. Titus was one of his disciples, but he started to make disciples in the churches of Crete. Clement, he was part of the church in Philippi, but by the way, later on he became the leading elder in the church of Rome. By the way, if you don't know this, the Catholic Church considers him the third pope of Rome. Clement of Rome, it was actually Paul's disciple. And he was making other disciples until he was martyred. He was killed. Now, let's take Peter. Peter discipled John Mark. And John Mark wrote the gospel, Mark, right? John, let's take John. John discipled Ignatius, who was martyred in Rome. He also discipled Polycarp. I don't know if you know anything, but awesome, man. He was killed in Smyrna. Polycarp discipled Irenaeus. Irenaeus was the one who wrote apostolic preaching, and he was the first written version of the rule of faith or of statement of faith. That's fantastic. But he made, in his turn, another disciple, Hippolytus, if I say it right in English, Hippolytus, something like that. He was an elder of the local church of Rome, defending Trinity from moralism and moral standards in the local church. Do you see this? John, Polycarp, and then Irenaeus, and then Hippolytus, whatever. Four, at least we know this line of disciple makers. Some of the lines are shorter because we don't know, but we are sure that they did it. We know. What's my conclusion? Is this. As a disciple maker, we have the duty to extend our networking so that to help others to understand the gospel, to live the gospel, and to follow Jesus Christ. Relationship is what we have at hand, and we create relationships because we were created for relationships and redeemed for relationships. Created, Adam and Eve. That's clear. Redeemed, look around the church. This is it. Intentionally creating relationship to pray for people, invite them to Christ and explain them the gospel, live the gospel in front of them and help them to become disciple makers. This is the goal, number one. Of course, there is a time where the disciple maker challenge these, you know, the people that he's working with, hey, you need to commit. And that's okay. It's nothing bad. Because that disciple will do the same thing, you know, next. He will ask others, hey, you need to commit. Jesus did that, okay? So, and then the number one type of commitment that we show is the baptism, which is not only a symbol of death and resurrection, but also a public declaration, a statement of your loyalty. I am loyal to Christ and His church. I'm here. By baptism, we identify with Jesus Christ and with Crossroads, yeah, right? In our situation. This is baptism there, number two. And then number three, teaching them. This is the teach them. In catechism class, this is how it's a fancy word, it's a Greek word for, you know, baptism class, but catechism class, where the disciples are trained. They understand what is salvation, why should I baptize? And then this continues, this, and then continues with small group, with mentorship and others, even eating together, but we'll talk more about these in the next Sundays to come. If Jesus made disciples, and these are the apostles and others, the early church made other disciples, disciple makers in their turn, the church over the centuries made disciple makers. Now, by the way, you are the result of a disciple maker. And now is your turn to do it. It's something that you do because Jesus wanted. Not because the pastor wants it. Not because the whatever. Now you read a book and it's like, yeah, now I have to do it. No, read the book and then do it. Jesus, I hope this uninterrupted chain of disciple makers will not end with you and me. At least one. At least one. Pray, have, you know, Philip told us, you know, to have like a list of five people, right, Philip? Pray for them, witness to them, invite them. Have intentional relationship. Why? Oh, because you want to make them Christians and we need a bigger church. No. No. Because they are spiritual zombies. And they walk there and they don't know the truth. They don't know they are able to see the light of the sun. I don't know if you know the allegory of the cave of Plato, but it's something like that. You go out and you see the reality and you are so enamored of the reality, and that's Jesus Christ. But they have a veil. They cannot. And you know who puts that veil over their face? Satan. Satan. He doesn't want them to see the glory of Jesus Christ. But you are the one who saw it. You feel it. You live it. It's your turn to go and help them to take the veil off and say,